steps into it. Pass is caught! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it!
Hello, hello, let's go. It is your man, Flip Mozzie. Thank you for spending 15 minutes with me today. It's draft week. You knew I had to get a draft bot in. It's time for dreams to be realized. Time for Minnesota to add 8 new young men to their roster. Time for Rick Slick Spielman to put together the finishing touches on his contender. There's speculation everywhere. We got draft big boards, top 30 visits, mock drafts, and most importantly, Jordan Reed's spectacular draft guide to tell us what's going down starting Thursday. For me, I start with the top 30 visits. It's the best, maybe only objective information on who the Vikings are interested in. Past visits include Anthony Barr, Eric Wilson, and Laquon Treadwell, among others. So rather than dreaming on our own, we're going to anchor on that when considering the Minnesota draft needs for 2018. I have a list here of visits from Walker Football, and just looking at the positional breakdown, we can learn a lot. There's 5 wideouts on this list, 5 offensive linemen, 5 defensive backs, 5 linebackers. So guess what, y'all? There's only 1 tight end, 3 defensive linemen, 2 mid-round running backs. The list tells us that those groups just aren't priorities for them. On top of that, you can see the Vikings are considering both tackles and guards for the offensive line, both safeties and cornerback in the secondary. All stones are being turned at those spots. Suggests Terrence Newman, if he's coming back, there's no rush there. Basically, Minnesota is going to try to nab one of these top corners, and if they can't, then maybe they'll bring Newman back into the fold. It also means the Vikings are fine moving Mike Remmers to guard. That's not a move I agree with. I trust a veteran at the right tackle spot much more than a rookie, and good interior offensive linemen can be found later in the draft, but regardless, you can't deny the high amount of interest at those spots. At least these interests match up with the Vikings' perceived needs. Offensive line and secondary are certainly the 2 position groups that need the most work. We're going to rank all the Vikings' needs for the next 15 minutes, fans, starting at the top, working our way down. But first, let's get mean about it. Let's cross out the positions that the Vikings clearly aren't prioritizing as needs in this draft. Sounds like fun. That list, what the Vikings won't draft early, of course starts with kicker and punter. And you know what? While we're on special teams, I don't want to see any of those wide receivers or defensive backs or running backs who are really just kick and punt returners. I'm so sick of those picks. First, they draft Cordero Patterson. They literally spent a first-round pick, traded back into the first round to get a glorified kick returner. 4 picks trying to replace Percy Harvin. Just ridiculous. So the next year, what do? They draft Jerick McKinnon, and Jed is instantly way too good at running back to go back and return kicks. Just last year, they draft Rodney Adams. Can he return? Sure, but guess what? So can the guy they drafted 2 rounds later, Stacy Coley. Please, Minnesota, do not draft a returner this year. Let's see, what else is on the won't draft list? I think a wide receiver would be questionable after signing Kendall Wright and Tavares King. Safety would be a wasted pick this year unless they can play cornerback as well. Harrison Smith, Andrew Sendejo, Ant Harris, and Jaron Kearse make a strong safety room, y'all. And Jack Tocio is still on the roster, too. Also, quarterback. I know we all had dreams of a trade-up before they signed Cousins or a mid-round pick on a quarterback before they signed Trevor Siemian, but that quarterback room is now set. Don't be greedy. Let's ignore all our wants and go get what we need. Now for the needs. The first group of draft demands are the positions which the Vikings clearly need. Luckily, given the current state of the Vikings roster, one that's been built through solid, consistent drafting and savvy free agent signings, the certain needs are very few. There's only 2 of them, and it's funny. Because there's 2 of them, these positions have been heavily scrutinized by Vikings fans. It's the strength of the roster that makes these needs so crucial, like a ship that only has 2 leaks instead of 20. Everyone sees them. Everyone focuses on them. Everyone wants to fix them. And there's no debate these needs exist. Minnesota should start the draft with a cornerback. The only hole on the defense was created when the Vikings chose not to take advantage of the deep free agent defensive back pool. That's something I'm still bitter about. I mean, Rashad Breeland is still out there. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, hello. Anyways, the starting defensive line is set. The linebackers look great. Eric Kendricks is making it rain with his 5-year, $50 million extension. Safety shouldn't be drafted. The secondary is headlined by Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes. Mack can play both inside and outside, but it's 2018, and in today's NFL, you need 4, if not 5, cornerbacks. The truth is, I know why the Vikings didn't sign a free agent corner. It's because they want to get a really good first-round corner, and they're going to try to before deciding how much to pay any veteran. This defense is elite. Sheldon Richardson makes them that much better, and a young stud corner is really one of the only ways to improve it further. So let's read the tea leaves here. The Vikings brought in Mike Hughes and Justin Reed in for private workouts. Reed is listed as a safety but logs snaps at nickel corner too. With the first pick at 30, Arif Hassan's consensus big board has Hughes at 32 and Reed at 43. JR rates both as starting caliber corners. You know where I'm going with this, guys. Be bold. Hughes or Reed are the picks. A trade down is possible too. For the second need, I begged Joe Berger to come back to us, but he didn't. He left us for the greener pastures of retirement in Western Michigan, God bless his heart. Hopefully, we can invite the stalwart back to Minnesota to blow that mighty Gjallarhorn and watch the Vikings play with their new right guard, which they desperately need in this draft. The offensive line is one player away from being rebuilt. Nick Easton has grown into a solid left guard. Riley Reiff and Mike Remmers have panned out as 2017 free agent signings at left and right tackle. And Pat Elflein, the 2017 third round pick, is a man in the middle, so that leaves one spot, right guard, completely unaddressed. Luckily, the flexibility of Remmers and Elflein allow Minnesota to be flexible in the draft. They can draft a center and move Elflein to right guard, or draft a tackle and move Remmers to guard. Personally, I prefer that they just stick to the rebuild and draft a right guard. This keeps all of our solid offensive linemen in their current positions and, more importantly, it allows the Vikings to address this need later on in the draft. Looking at the consensus big board, there's 10 offensive linemen in the first 62 slots. If you focus on any one player, their high ranking looks scary. Some of them won't be there at the Vikings' second pick, number 62. Interior offensive linemen usually get selected later than their board ranking due to the nature of the position. That's what I'm hoping happens here, because there's so many of them. Connor Williams and Frank Ragnow visited Minnesota this spring. 62 will be too low for Williams, but I'm hoping Ragnow slides to a place where a trade-up is possible, at the least. He's rated number 44 on the consensus big board, and our man JR loves him, listing him at 30. Billy Price could be hanging around in the second round too. So those are the clear roster needs, cornerback and right guard. Next, we dive for a deeper look at the holes in the roster. If the Vikings are able to get past their needs at guard and corner, then it'll be time to start addressing the depth, and this is something that they'll start with as soon as day two. Now, there are several ways to go about filling out the roster. Most of us fans have cited the lack of depth as a primary reason for concern in Minnesota's 2018 campaign. However, there's another issue. We're going to build this team with the confidence that they'll be relevant over the next 3 years, and so we're going to prioritize in a way that some might consider unorthodox. Fill some depth, but also get a replacement. Guys like Anthony Barr, Danielle Hunter, and even Sheldon Richardson are scheduled to be free agents next year. So how about we give ourselves flexibility, kill two birds with one stone, add depth, and prepare for the future. So that's the mindset. Heaven forbid we lose Hunter after next year, our number three need, defensive line, can help fill the gap. On top of Hunter and Richardson, Brian Robertson is on the last year of his contract, likely headed towards retirement. We talked last month about bolstering the defensive line's rotation, increasing it from 6 to 8 players so everyone's more rested and more effective later on in the fourth quarter of the game, fourth quarter of the season, and the playoffs. Well, this is how you do it. Draft a day two rotational piece. That would give us Hunter Richardson, Robeson, Everson Griffin, Linval Joseph, Jaleel Johnson, Stephen Weatherly, and a day two rookie. And if that rookie can play, we've got ourselves something special. At the Vikings' third round pick, number 94, Matthew Shepard and Kamiko Turi, both who have made pre-draft visits, come into play. The big board has them at 66 and 84 respectively. JR has Touré as more of an edge 3-4 outside linebacker, but thinks highly of both linemen. Both could develop into future starters. Now for need number 4, it's at running back. The third man back there sees the field. While Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray will hopefully take the bulk of the workload in the backfield next year, the Vikings still need a spell option for Cook on third down. Murray can block and catch out of the backfield, but there's room for an upgrade there. Behind him right now is Mack Brown, who has 16 carries and 2 receptions so far in his 2-year career. On top of that, neither Murray nor Brown are under contract past 2018. Nyheim Hines is ranked 100 on the consensus big board. Jalen Samuels is at 107. Both are versatile and have seen the TCO Performance Center with their own beady eyes. So it won't surprise us if the Vikings grab one of them early on day 3. But here's the deal. Minnesota doesn't have a 4th-round pick, so it'd take either a deep slide or a trade-up here. They'd be a nice pick regardless. Defensive line and running back help with future upside presents a dream scenario for our team up north. Four needs down, 2 to go. We've got to jump across the line of scrimmage for need number 5. I'm locking in linebacker for day 3. Hopefully the Vikings can keep the Bash brothers, Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr, together. If forced to move on from Barr, there needs to be a smooth transition, and that would need to happen this year. I'm not talking about a day 3 backer unseating Barr in the starting lineup. I'm talking about a guy who can simply flash to give us a bit of confidence. Mike Zimmer has continuously said this team has a defensive identity. This is how you reinforce that identity, with a corner, a lineman, and a backer to provide both depth and longevity. But it's the 5th round. Who's left? Jack Cicci hopefully will be. You guessed it. The Vikings had him visit Minnesota, most likely to see how the talented Will backer looks after a series of injuries during his college career. If they liked what they saw, watch out for his name at pick 167. Finally, the Vikings undeniably have to address tight end. Rick Spielman tried to last year when he drafted Bucky Hodges, but that project folded before the season even began. Hodges was barely even a Viking, and Blake Bell was brought in, giving our purple a very slow, just, I don't even want to talk about it. Let's just say some more excitement at tight end will be welcome. A lot of fans believe that tight end is one of Minnesota's primary needs. I'm not going to go that far. I'm still a big fan of Rudolph. He's consistent, dependable, and effective in all phases of the offense. What I don't like about our tight ends, one Rudolph is enough. We don't need 3 similar guys like we had last year. So more than looking for an exceptional playmaker, I'm just looking for some variety in the room. Minnesota used at least 2 tight ends on 34% of their snaps last year. They'll take a tight end this weekend. The question is where. Their only private workout was Dallas Goedert. Do you forgo all the other needs we just covered to take him in the 1st round? Maybe so, but if not, give a developmental guy 2 years behind Rudolph. By that I mean Chris Herndon or Jordan Akins. Now listen to this about Akins. He's got a girlfriend and a daughter already living in Minnesota. Rick, you do the right thing now. You bring this young man home. You give him the money to afford a ring and a family. That's a great way to fill the last need, Rick. That's it, guys. Our 6 major needs are cornerback, offensive line, defensive line, running back, linebacker, and tight end. Overall, I hope they take a long-term strategy rather than a win-now approach. And if they draft a punter, I'ma smack somebody. Thanks for listening. Time to shut it down.